This is part B of how to keep your bearings in a lawless society, and how do we retain our attitude in God's way. We see this in politics all the time. We see it in the way that people approach others all the time. Compliment people, tell them how good they are, make them feel good about themselves, and you will be exalted, and you can pull them up. Now, we've seen this in a hierarchy, haven't we? Yes. Yes. You flatter the man, get a raise, get a position, become advisor, you know, and then you begin exercising that surrogate power from the big chief, and you begin putting your own people who have been flattering you, see. So that's the whole thing with a hierarchical and corporate structure. So that's why he said here that about exalting the self. Now let's go through the rest of it and see that there are some people who will just never humble themselves. They will just never associate themselves with Jesus Christ, the true Jesus. Now, they like a nice version of Jesus that they agree with, but the true Jesus, and have to really do what he said, because to be poor in spirit requires an awful lot. And then we'll go back and see in the Old Testament about being poor in spirit and how the teachings of Jesus Christ have magnified that and brought it out all the more. So he says this. Now he's talking to them there. But he said to them, a certain man made a great supper and invited many. And he said sent his servants at supper time to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But everyone with one consent began to excuse himself. Good example of this. One of the brethren told one of his, I think it was his son or son-in-law, about the Sabbath. And the son-in-law answered this way. Well, when Jesus comes down and tells me to keep the Sabbath, I will. Well, he already did in many ways. Okay. And this supper he's talking about is the wedding supper of the Lamb. He's inviting them to eternal life. He's inviting them to eternal glories. He's inviting them to the whole plan of salvation, you see. And the first one said to him, I bought a field, and I need to go out to see it. Now, you can tie this in with Matthew 13 and Mark 4 concerning the parable of the sower, you see. I beg you to have me excused. And another said, I bought five pairs of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. I beg you to have me excused. And another said, well, I've got a better excuse than any of these. I have married a wife, and because of this, I'm unable to come. Now, that's a good excuse, isn't it? Yes. And that servant came and reported these things to his lord. Then the master of the house was angry, and he said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And this all ties in with the, as we'll see a little later here, those that Jesus calls the poor of the world, the weak of the world, the uneducated of the world, to teach them the greatest things they need to learn, how to have the character of Christ, and how God the Father, through this and His Spirit, qualifies them for eternal life, you see. So a servant said, sir, it's been done as you commanded. There's still room. Then the Lord said to him, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. Last-minute evangelism. For I tell you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Now, he also says in another place about the wedding feast, many are called but few are chosen, see. So all of those who think they're great, all of those who think they're doing great work for God, ain't going to be there. Okay? Now let's continue on and see how then we truly become poor in spirit toward God, so that he can exalt us in due time. Now, let me preface this by saying that every once in a while I watch some of these prison documentaries where those in prison, they start with those who are, you know, at the lower level. And the lower level ones are more willing to seek God and more willing to have a conscience concerning what they have done or their weakness or whatever. But those who get into the murders and the premeditated murders, and I was watching one of a premeditated murderer who was given life, you see. God says, execute him. There's a reason for that. The day is going to come, brethren. The day is going to come when there will be no more tax money to pay all of these prison guards. And they're going to have to let all the prisoners go because they can't feed them, they can't protect them, and they're all going to be released. Now, you know they're not going to line them up and shoot them and kill them. But this man who was sentenced to life instead of death, he said, when you kill in a premeditated way, there is no such thing as real remorse. He said, I know. Even though they treat me in this prison in various severe fashions, I have no remorse. And I thought to myself, the key to criminality is this. They are so lawless and self-centered on themselves that it is impossible for them to give their lives to Christ, which then involves repentance and great remorse, does it not? Yes. So here is the ones who humble themselves. Here is how it is done. So you start out at the first of the chapter and you come all the way through. All of these verses in Luke 14 come together. So here he was at first with the Pharisee who invited him to supper on the Sabbath. And then he leaves there and comes out and great multitudes were going with them. And he turned to them and said, now, just think about this. I would love to see Joel Osteen do this when he preaches. I don't think he ever will, because I don't think he would fill up the auditorium so he could get enough cash to continue paying for it. Turn to them saying, if anyone comes to me, now you'd have to get up there and say, if anyone comes to Christ, here's what you're going to have to do. Because this is for spiritual salvation and eternal life. And furthermore, when I get done reading this, I just want to give you a heads up. Next week we're going to meet on Saturday because that's a Sabbath. And I want to give you another heads up. We're not going to be celebrating Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, or all of those. We're going to keep God's way and His holy days. And we are not going to pass out any more grape juice. We are going to all keep the Passover on the day that Jesus died. Now, so He won't do that. But this is tantamount to what he would have to do, because here is what it says. Here's what Jesus said. And all of this is because eternal life is so important that there is no room for self-exaltation or human exaltation because Christ is the one who is exalted. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, now this means to love God more in comparison to, but it also means that even your relatives will believe that you hate them because you have chosen Jesus Christ instead. His father, closest thing to you, right? And mother, and wife, and children, and brothers and sisters, and in addition, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So this helps us understand what we read back there in Matthew, the second chapter. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. There shall be the kingdom of heaven because they're not exalting themselves. See, because the truth is, in order to find yourself in Christ, you must give up yourself to him. Rather than Christ finds you because you're so important. See? Christ discovers your great abilities because of who you are. Or you were born into a certain family, and he is bound to choose you. See? We've heard that before, right? Okay. And also, you have to give up your life to Christ. And just living in this life and overcoming sin and so forth, there are going to be times when you say, I hate life in this world. You love God and love his way. See. But know this. That's why Solomon said, it's better to go to a funeral, I'm sort of paraphrasing it here, and see the ultimate end of what happens to everyone than to go in the house of mirth. See, because you learn something. Even the most exalted die. So you need to die in Christ first. That's what he's talking about. And whoever does not carry his cross, that is, whatever your difficulties or problems may be, and come after me cannot be my disciple. So there's the whole lesson about exalting yourself, you see. Now let's come back to the Old Testament and let's look at a few scriptures here concerning this. Let's come back to Psalm 37. Oh, wait a minute. Let's come back here to Matthew 5. Yeah, okay. Psalm 37. Let's come back there. And we'll come back to Psalm 37 on several of these, because now that we've seen how Jesus expanded that, now when we read this in Psalm 37, then we have a greater understanding of it, don't we? Now let's see how all of this carries through. Let's begin right here in verse 1. Especially in today's world. Fret not yourself because of either evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, who have all the riches and have all the wealth and have all the fame and have great name recognition and all of this sort of thing. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Woo! And wither as the green herb. Who has been cut down? Think of all of these movie stars that die in their 20s and 30s because of drugs, because of fame, because of wanting to become great sex objects. You can think of Nicole Smith and Marilyn Monroe. Both died nearly the same age. And Nicole Smith said, well, I'll probably die the way that Marilyn Monroe did. And sure enough, she did. See? They're cut down. Trust in the Lord. See, that's how you remain humble. And do good under all circumstances at all times. So shall you dwell in the land, And then, of course, that's looking forward to the kingdom of God. And verily, you shall be fed, not only physically, but spiritually, because the spiritual feeding is the most important thing. Now, here, verse 4, here's a key. Because you have a relationship with God, and you can please God, and you have God's Spirit, which is the greatest thing of all. Now, think about this, which I've emphasized at the Feast of Tabernacles, but let's bring it up here. God destroyed the temple and everything that he created in the physical system with the covenant with Israel. So that you do not go to a physical high priest to receive the blessings of God, you go directly to Jesus Christ and God the Father, and those blessings come directly to you through his Spirit. That is really quite a thing. And because of this, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. So once you understand the not exalting yourself in the flesh or in your mind or in your abilities or whatever it may be, that's why Job had to learn the lesson. And God had to say, okay, Job, since you're so good, now I know you have done these things, but this is all that I've commanded you to do, and you say you are as righteous as me and great as me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you when I called out the stars of heaven and created them and all the angels of God sang for joy? Where were you when I did this and that and the other thing? Where were you when I created the ocean? How great are you? See? Woo! Was Job abased? Did he exalt himself? Yes, indeed. Now notice, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. See, because your desires are to love God and serve him, be in his kingdom. Commit your way unto the Lord. Now that's exactly what Jesus was talking about there, about loving him more than father, mother, brother, sister, so forth. Commit your way unto the Lord. This is why daily we need the blessing of God in our lives, in our mind, in our hearts, and everything, you see. That he can guide us, that he can lead us. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. So we commit our way to the Lord, whatever we do. That's why every day we pray. We ask God forgiveness for our sins. We ask God to bless us. We ask God to lead us. He'll do it. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. One caveat. According to his will in his way. Not in the way that we may think. But ultimately we will end up at the place where our desire is his way. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light. And that has to be, you know, we'll see a little later on, the light of the world. We have that today. But how is the righteousness going to be brought forth as the light? Well, the ultimate is going to be at the resurrection, right? Yes. And your judgment at the noonday? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. And just think about this. How many prospered in all the wicked lies and deception in the last 7 years through the stock market and real estate and all these things? Has it all come up to bite them? Yes, it has. See? Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not yourself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. That's what we need to look to, you see. Kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven's coming to the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Just go back and read the book of Revelation and see what happens to the wicked, especially Revelation 16 and the seven vials of the wrath of God. That's coming. Yea, you shall diligently consider his place, but it shall not be. But the meek of the earth shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Quite a scripture, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Quite a thing that God holds out to us. Okay, now let's look at another. Let's come here to Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57 and verse 15. Here's a promise. Claim this promise. And this will help you in your attitude greatly. Okay, verse 15. Thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. God's level of existence. Think of that. Whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Isn't that something? Over here to verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, says the Lord. I will heal him. And the greatest healing is not just physical. The greatest healing is overcoming carnal nature with God's Spirit. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. Verse 8. Beg your pardon, I turned the page. Come back here to Isaiah 55. And let's see what God is doing with us. This is why on the Sabbath day with God's Spirit, with his word, when we assemble together, we assemble in our homes, whatever it may be, there's a special blessing that comes from God. And there's a special thing that comes when we have this approach concerning the Sabbath. Let's just pick it up here in verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsts. Now, this is spiritually, because we're going to see a little later on, hunger and thirst after God's way will be filled. Okay. Come you to the waters, that's the Holy Spirit. He that has no money, you don't have to, when you get on your knees and pray, there is not a slot, deposit $2, please, then your prayer will ascend. Or have to go to a priest and you confess your sins, and then he tells you, well, I'll do a mass for you for so much money, and you go do 200 Hail Marys and 200 Our Fathers, and your sins will be forgiven. Come you, buy and eat. We're going to see a little later on, especially during unleavened bread. That's the whole thing. We buy from God with not with money. We buy from God with our attitude and humility and his spirit. And we eat the word of God. That means we bring it into our hearts and minds. And that's what makes us function, see. Come ye by wine and milk without money and without price. And that is various levels of the understanding of God. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfies not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, which then is the blessing of God, not overweight. Incline your ear, and this is all why we have the humility. Now, let's understand something concerning humility and meek in spirit and humble attitude, too. This is not to let men run over you and you become like a milquetoast blanket that is bulldozed by a bulldozer or run over by a steamroller. See, you stand strong in the Lord. But this is your standing to God, you see. Come unto me and hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. See, you're in covenant with God, and that's what baptism is all about. And those who do not baptize or understand about baptism really are missing the whole point of why it's necessary. Now, we finally have put a series together about baptism, because through the years I've given enough on it and different aspects of it that we now have 11 sermons on baptism, and we're going to do the transcripts of it and put it into some sort of a booklet form, because baptism has either been relegated to nothing, or baptism has just been an oath to get into a church and be accepted by a corporate organization rather than a divine covenant for eternal life with God. So we'll cover that as we get more and more to the days of Passover and days of unleavened bread. Even the sure mercies of David. Now hold your place here. We'll come back and come to Acts 15. Let's see how James, the brother of Jesus, interpreted the tabernacle of David, which then also includes the sure mercies of David. Which is what? Continuous access to God and forgiveness upon repentance, correct? Yes. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 13, after they got done discussing how God saved those and gave the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles who were not circumcised. Now, if you don't have the sermons, the circumcision wars, you can go online and draw those down, or you can write in for them, and we'll send them to you. We don't want to get into a great debate about that, because that is just quite a different subject altogether. Yes, and after that they were silenced. Verse 13, James answered and said, "Men and brethren, listen to me. Simon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take out a people for his name." Now, this is a summary of the whole account of Acts 10 and the incidents with Cornelius and his household. "And with this, the words of the prophets agree as it is written." How did they establish their authority? By the word of God. Now notice how he interprets this. Verse 16. "After these things I will return and build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down and its ruins, and I will build it again and set it up." Now what is he referring to? He's referring to the church. So the covenant, even the sure mercies of David, is eternal life and rulership under Christ and so forth. Now notice, verse 17, "so that the residue of men may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, says the Lord who does these things." Now this is an important judgment, because it is upon all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, who were not required to be circumcised. Now that was really a revelation, because now, as we know, we have the greater circumcision of the heart, correct? Which then changes the heart. And this is what the whole new covenant is about. Changing the heart, changing the mind, being converted, growing in grace and knowledge, going through all the things and experiences that we discussed at the beginning of the sermon. "And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, says the Lord, who does all these things." So God is doing it, you see. "Known to God are all his works of the beginning of the world. Therefore, my judgment is that we trouble not those of the Gentiles who have turned to God." See? Now, they were already keeping the Sabbath. They were already keeping the holy days. So that's not the argument here. The argument is circumcision and the prominent sins in the Gentile countries. Verse 20, "but that we write to them to abstain from pollutions of idols and sexual immorality and from that which has been strangled and from blood, For from the generations of old, Moses had in every city those who proclaimed him in the synagogues being read every Sabbath day. So he was sending this to Sabbath-keeping Gentiles. Now, that's quite a thing. Come back here to Isaiah 55, you see. Verse 3. I will make unto you an everlasting covenant, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people. Now then it goes and exalts the son of David, Jesus Christ. David was a witness to the people, but Jesus was the spiritual fulfillment of that, you see. Isaiah 55 and verse 4. And commander to the people, behold, you shall call a nation that you know not, and nations that knew you not shall run unto you because of the Lord, for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So now that he has set this up, here is what we are to do in seeking God. Now add up all the other things that we've covered so far about how to be poor in spirit. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And he's always there. Because Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your spirit? If I go into heaven, you're there. If I go into the depths of the earth, you are there. See? So he's always near. So here's the key. Let the wicked forsake his way, and those who exalt themselves humble themselves. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. So this is, you see, now the circumcision of the heart. You see, when you have the New Testament, as we started out, and you come back and read the Old Testament, does this not give us the keys to faith and salvation through Jesus Christ? Yes. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And as we know now, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But who would have thought that he would have done it that way? That's why all those prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Jesus and all the things that he had to suffer, they didn't understand what was going to happen. But here's a prophecy of it. Now that you have the New Testament, you can look back and understand it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Who would have thought that God would have done it that way back here, you see? Neither are your ways my ways. That's why you can't take, well, I believe this, this is my opinion, so let's go ahead and do this because this looks really good. Well, that's why you have to check it with God's Word, see? Maybe it's really not so good, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now think about this for a minute. What do we have here in the Word of God? We have the words of God. His thoughts expressed in writing. Now, let's think about this into how God is exalting us if we humble ourselves and become poor in spirit. Okay? Let's come back here to Hebrews 10. Now, with God's Spirit, this is something. I want you to really think about this as we read it. And this in itself is a very humbling experience when you understand it and realize what God is doing. That's why it says, I will work a work in your days which you will not know or understand. See? Because he's doing it within us. All right. Here's the everlasting covenant that he promised the sure mercies of David. Verse 16. This is the covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts and I will inscribe them in their minds. In other words, when you have the laws and the words of God, the New Testament, all of these things that you can have inscribed in your mind, what is happening in that process of conversion? God is teaching you as much as you are able in this flesh with the Spirit of God to learn to think like God. Isn't that something? Now, that's a very humbling thing in itself. But you can't learn to think like God as long as you have your mind only on yourself, because those who are totally narcissistic and self-centered have exalted themselves in their own mind so far, or so high, that they are unable to receive the words of God. Isn't that something? That's what God is doing to us. And that's what humbles us in all of the things that we do and think. Now let's come back here to Isaiah 55 and we'll finish here, because this is what God is doing. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And God is the one who is lifting us to this through His Spirit as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, you see. For as the rains come down and the snow from heaven and returns not there but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in blood, that I may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth, which through God's Spirit comes into you through Jesus Christ to be inscribed in your hearts and in your minds, so that we begin to think as God thinks. Now, you talk about an education that is greater than anything you could ever receive in the world. You receive through the Word of God and the Spirit of God and from the Bible. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void. God is going to complete the work that He's going to do in you. And it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Now, you compare that with how many religionists merchandise the Word of God rather than really teach the truth, you see. Now then, here's the ultimate. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Now, this is what we're going to experience when we start bringing in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The whole earth is going to change. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, there shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. And then the very next one goes into, how are you going to do this? Through the Sabbath day. So we'll finish here with this one. We still have a ways to go. And like when I get going through the scriptures, when we finish, we'll finish. This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442.